Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
So I had this whole talk I worked on for the last 3 days called, it was a continuation of God is Right Here, Right Now, but it was from the book, The Universe as a Single Atom, The Convergence of Science and Spirituality, written by all means by the Dalai Lama. I don't know if you know, he spends a lot of time with the great minds of the world, bringing these two ideas of spirituality and science together. So I had this whole talk worked on for 3 days. And then this morning, I realized I hadn't printed off the Father's Day ceremony. And I'm in the midst of switching from one computer system to another, so not everything is connected. So I went in looking for this, and I came across a Father's Day talk, and it's like 9:35. And I'm like, man, I like this talk. So I'm scrambling, trying to cut it down and put it together. And I was going through that thing. You know, I think I tell you, my worst nightmare that I have quite often is not being ready for Sunday morning. You know what I'm talking about, right? And it's like 10:15 and I have no talk or nothing, you know. So I did pull it together, and then, of course, my printers are not hooked up, and with this new computer's desktop is wireless, and it found a wireless printer in the house and shot it off. So here I am. But, you know, like it's new to me. I mean, so I might be fumbling a little bit this morning as I do this. But I think you'll enjoy it. Again, it's called A Father's Nature. And the dictionary defines father as a man who begets or nurtures or raises a child. So a father can be anyone who acts or serves in the capacity of a father. And this definition is sort of liberating because it expands the definition of father beyond the one who planted the seed who eventually became you and I. And I'm sure there are many of us sitting here who have fond memories of life with our father. I know when my brother calls me at different times, you know, and I'm either putting in a light or changing a toilet or something, he goes, "Where did you learn how to do that?" And I said, "From Dad." You know? So, you know, we learn a lot of things from our fathers that, you know, we end up utilizing all of our lives and sometimes don't even remember what we learned them from. And then just as we did on Mother's Day, I think it's important to mention that we are aware that there are many sitting here who may not have fond memories of your fathers. But this is part of the struggle of the whole spiritual process. Meaning as we strive to discover our spirituality, it becomes more and more apparent that we will have many experiences as we evolve towards developing a consciousness of forgiveness, understanding, and compassion. And remember, I've always said that every experience we have, whether we judge it as being good or not good, it only has one purpose, and that is to wake us up to who we truly are. All right? And in the spiritual process, it is the nature of the human experience to develop a factor in the human psyche that will guide us towards understanding the purpose and power of developing a forgiving heart. So a forgiving heart, you know, is the process of understanding that as we look at each other and we're judging each other being this or being that, the forgiving heart is to understand that this person is living out their own life. Their soul is experiencing their own journey. And it's for us to understand that that's the process they're going through. So as we grow spiritually, it begins to become apparent to us as we look back over our past relationships that everyone was and is doing their very best to express their indwelling Christ potential. But for most of us, it is a long, slow process of self-discovery, trying to remember who I really am, all right? So with every word we speak and every action we perform, there is a calling from deep within our soul to love and forgive. But it takes deep listening and a forgiving heart to be able to hear that inner calling. That's why in Matthew 22:14 we read, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Now, we translate that as many are called, but few choose to hear that inner calling. And the reason being is, you know, you can only be chosen by the Holy Spirit if you choose to be chosen. Or in the context of this lesson, you can only be chosen if you choose to do the work to develop the inner capacity for deep inner listening. Right? So the responsibility of our spiritual development always lies completely on our shoulders. You know, the Amalia Frank story, when I think I told you we were down on 7th and A, and the street person knocked on the door and said, "Sister, I'm here to be saved." And she said, "I'm sorry, we don't do that here. Here, you got to save yourself." All right. And that is a process. You know, it's all about us saving, you know, becoming conscious of what we need to do. So that we were the ones who must constantly choose to listen to hear the Holy Spirit call for forgiveness and patience over being judgmental. Because a judging mind cannot hear the Christ within calling you. Everybody just see what I said? All right. So we're busy judging something and Spirit is trying to give us another way of looking at it. We can't hear that because we're so caught up in our own judgmental process. So it's only by listening with a compassionate heart that you can hear God's calling. So how many of us in this room right now are aware of how difficult it is to choose between thoughts and feelings and deeds that are spiritually centered compared to those that are judgmental? You know, all of us. Okay, we know the process, but that judgmental mind jumps up and we have a tendency to go with that before we have a tendency to become still. And we have already discovered, this life experience is no easy road. But that is why we have each other to help us through the process. That's why we need each other to help us along. Those of us who are parents, fathers, and mothers, are always trying to fulfill our role to the best of our ability and to the best of our knowledge. Everybody just hear that? All right? We're always trying to do the best we can where we are in this moment with what we know. It's just like those of us who are grandparents and great-grandparents can look at our children and their children and see things they might need to do differently, but you can't really say anything because they have to experience it themselves. Am I right? The grandparents in the room, right? And great-grandparents in the room, okay? You know, and it's sort of like, you know, but our children then are now starting to understand why we did what we did with them, because now they have to do that with their children. You know, as I always say to my kids, one day you will hear the words of your mother and father come right out of your own mouth to your children, right? So it's this constant learning process that we're going through. And many of us have discovered that the journey of parenting can be tough as well as rewarding. It is a journey that twists and turns between being proud and being disappointed, between feeling your children are safe and well and feeling they are not, between feeling you have a connection, a bond, an understanding, and feeling you do not, between having a sense of satisfaction in what they are accomplishing and a sense of bewilderment or wondering what are they doing, right? And today we're talking about a father's role in that journey. Father is a very powerful word in our language that conjures up all sorts of memories and emotions. And this is not to say that it is more powerful than mother, but it is the thought and focus of today. And actually, if you think about it, you might wonder, in a true sense of the idea of parenting, where does mothering leave off and fathering begin, and where does fathering leave off and mothering begin? You know, it's all a smooth process that runs in together. And many of us have experienced doing both roles, okay? So in the Dead Sea Scrolls, it says that the ancients believe that each of us is a perfect union between that of our Mother Earth and our Father in Heaven. And I quote, "For the spirit of each of us was created from the spirit of our Heavenly Father and our body from the body of our earthly mother. We are the genderless union of these two forces, the masculinity of our Father in Heaven merged with the femininity of our Mother Earth. Through eloquent words and poetic reminders, ancient texts remind us that we are the product of every special union, a sacred marriage between the soul of the heavens and the tissues of our earth. That's powerful, right? There's a Bible program I'm looking at right now that I haven't financially figured out how to get. It's over $3,000. And it has all these, but it has hundreds of texts in it. So I was talking to the people on the phone and I said, I don't know if I need all of those different texts because I don't know if I would read all of them. And he explained to me, he says, the way this program is put together is that, no, these texts, these are very dense, very deep texts that are in this Bible program. But he said, you wouldn't sit and read any one of those individually, but if you put into that search engine, what did it mean when Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem? It said it searches all of these ancient texts and brings you back information you would never find on your own. That's powerful, isn't it? All right, so I got to figure out how to come up with $3,000 something. So, and it's a 30-day training program just to learn how to use that engine to search all those different texts. Okay, but I mean, this reading from that, it just shows you there's so much information out there that talks to the ideas that we talk about in here. Of the fact that life is this is an earth's classroom, and we are constantly trying to wake up to the truth of who we really are. And it's recorded in Matthew 19:6 that Jesus says, "What God has joined together, let no man put asunder." Now, of course, on a purely physical level, this verse was creates a lot of controversy. But on a purely spiritual level, it means we are both male and female. We are both divine masculine and divine feminine. And this is what we are not to put asunder, meaning put apart within ourselves. So we need to live both from our masculine energy and our feminine energy, both from our father self and our mother self. So in essence, you cannot say father without implying mother. And you cannot say mother without implying father. Each brings a very special set of attributes to the relationship of the human family. And not so much the physical attributes of sexuality as it is the spiritual attributes of divine love, feminine, and spiritual understanding, masculine, both working together within the same person. So this is a relationship that will forever challenge the capacity of the human psyche to learn how to love with an everlasting, ever-expanding love, a love that knows no condition, no boundaries. So the thing is, as things happen in our lives, it's not that we just love as we are, but we love in an expanded way, beyond where we are. And life is always giving us the opportunity to expand beyond where we are, right? It's like those of you who go to the gym and do weightlifting, you know, if you keep lifting the same weight all the time, eventually your muscle gets used to it and goes, okay, that we're doing the same thing again. But even if you just take that same weight and you usually do 10 reps and you try to push for 20 reps, even if you didn't change the weight, the amount of energy you put into it is going to cause the muscle fiber to fire and it's going to wake up. So life is doing that to us. It's always firing the muscle of our indwelling Christ spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. So, you know, there are too many of us who are advocates of do what I say and not what I do. Without realizing that the message we're giving is being expressed through our behavior. And that's because this is the lazy person's way of living. We'll tell our kids, or we'll tell each other, you know, don't do that or whatever, and we're doing it. So the key is we need to become a living demonstration of that which we are preaching. So we say that we are unity, or as went right out of my head as soon as I wanted to say it, the famous poet, female poet that just passed away. Maya Angelou said, you know, you can't really call yourself a Christian unless you have truly embodied the ideas of what that really means. That makes sense? Okay. So, and yes, I agree that it is not always easy, desirable, or even seemingly possible to demonstrate love when your emotions have been stirred beyond your control. But that is what the spiritual journey is all about. Scripture shows that Jesus did not agree with the behavior of prostitutes and tax collectors. He did not agree with his accusers, the ones who betrayed him, nor the ones who persecuted and executed him. No, he did not agree with them, but he did love them and forgive them. You hear me? All right? So, and he said in Matthew 5:25, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on your way to the court with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will be by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. Now, the words while you are on your way to court represents a situation which is causing dissension or turmoil between you and another person. You are on your way to court as that thing is being stirred up. Okay? The judge and the officers are your own thoughts, which are creating the turmoil within you and condemning you to an inner prison made of your own resistance to being loving, forgiving, instead of being judgmental and condemning. All this is going on in your own head. And paying the last penny means you will not be freed from this inner emotional prison that you have created until you have paid or released the last bit of anger or unforgiving thoughts you have about the person or situation. That's why Jesus says, when you come to the altar, if you remember you got something against your brother, leave your gift at the altar, go back and make amends with your brother, and then come back to the altar, okay? And yes, again, I say, I know it's not always easy to be loving, kind, patient, and forgiving. The demonstration of love often requires creativity, attentiveness to details, the willingness to change, to forgive, to let go of your perceptions, and the big one, the willingness to let go of your need to be right and to impose your own will on the situations and people in your life. And that's what we're always doing. You know, it's always my way, okay? And love requires a mountain of patience and an ocean of forgiveness. You hear that? A mountain of patience and an ocean of forgiveness. It often requires unconditional acceptance as well as a creative communication about what you cannot accept. So, love can require you to say yes when the answer sought is no. And it can require you to say no when the answer sought is yes. Love can make you happy. It can make you sad. It can make you joyous. It can make you mad. Love can take you to the end of what you consider to be your sanity. And it can elevate you to the heights of exhilaration. All right? But no matter how dichotomous your experience with love may be, it is our work, whether father, mother, spouse, friend, co-worker, or whatever the relationship, it is our work to find the strength and courage and wisdom to express the love that's required in that particular moment. Whether somebody stops you on the street, cuts you off in traffic, jumps in front of you on a line, whatever it might be, is that point where you have the opportunity to be loving. And being, you know, a parent is a moment-by-moment proposition. Being a husband or a friend is a moment-by-moment proposition. Being able to intertwine strength and courage and wisdom with love and compassion and kindness and gentleness is a moment-by-moment decision. You don't just jump up one morning and say, oh, I'm going to be this way all the time. You do that, you're challenging life to find situations that's going to challenge that thing. Just realize that I'm going to work on it in this moment with this person. So when that person or situation comes up to you, you say to yourself, this is my moment to work at being loving, compassionate, forgiving. Does that make sense? Okay. And it does not, you know, the key is it makes sense because you can think about a moment by moment situation, but just to say collectively, I'm going to be like that, that's where we run into trouble. Okay. So how does a father decide, how does a husband decide, how does a man decide what is the wise and loving thing to say and do? Well, he can choose to do it alone and muddle through it like many of us men do. You know what I'm talking about, guys, right? Okay. Or he can choose to do it in partnership with his own indwelling Christ Spirit. Okay. Have you ever reacted to your child, your spouse, partner, or friend in a harsh, negative manner and regretted it? On the other hand, have you ever taken the time in the face of a challenging situation, while you were being taken to court by your own judgmental thoughts, to take a moment to become still, maybe walk away for a while, sit in the silence, until you heard an inner answer emerge from the depths of your own being, is what is the right thing to say and do in this situation. Everybody here? See, that's the practical application of the process. Stuff is going to happen. Stuff is going to happen. Right? And when that stuff happens, if you cannot get yourself together in that moment, then you need to take a minute. Right? You need to take a minute to step back and listen. Not listen to what your ego is. Not think of, I want to get over this, and through gritted teeth, you're going to say, oh, okay, I'm going to be all right with this. It's not that. Right? It's when you take a moment to allow spirit rise up in you and guide you as to the right thing to say and do. Okay? And I know that today we are mostly talking about fathers, but in all situations regarding your relationship with another person, there's a greater love that you can show when you are in consultation with your indwelling spirit. There's a love that goes beyond whatever confronts you. And we as fathers become incredibly loving and compassionate fathers when we learn to love from our relationship with our indwelling Christ spirit. We as husbands become incredibly loving and compassionate husbands when we learn to love in our relationships from our indwelling Christ spirit. That is always a process we're working with. And we have within us the capacity, the power, the strength, the will to be free from our ego perception and become more available to spirit. Now, let me say that again. We have within us the capacity, the power, the strength, the will to be free from our ego perception and become more open and available to spirit. Because our ego always has this judgmental way of looking at things from its own way. But when we're open to spirit, we get a whole nother perception of how to respond. As it says in Psalms 59:9, O God, my strength, I will watch for you. For you, O Lord, are my fortress. My God, in his steadfast love, will meet me. My God will let me look in triumph on all situations. And of course, our enemies are those thoughts and emotions that would have us judge a person rather than love a person. Did you hear that? Okay. So when you hear that come up, that's when you use Jesus' statement, what? Get thee behind me, Satan. Okay. And again, I say, I know how difficult it can be to love rather than judge. But as Paul said to the Ephesians in 3:14-19, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the spirit of your own inner being, so that Christ will dwell in your hearts and in your faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and deep is the love of Christ within you. And as fathers, as men, we need to allow ourselves to be filled with a great measure of the fullness of God, of the fullness of love. This is how we become good examples for our children and demonstrating the power of love in all that we do. And one of the things I always say to people when I'm doing a wedding is the greatest way you can show love to your children is to show love to each other. You know, all of our kids were with us for the last couple of days, and Pam and I frequently pass each other and just give each other a little kiss. Little Calista went, ooh, right? Of course, she's only 6 years old, right? But the 40-year-olds, they get the point, right? You share that love all the time, and we do it continuously. Pass each other a hug, a kiss. You know, it's a continuous showing of love. And your children see that, and they're seeing the demonstration of it as opposed to just hearing about it. Does that make sense? You know? So let me end with this poem. Father, I know that all my love is portioned out for me, between my wife and my children and all who depend on me. the challenges and changes that will surely come, I do not fear to see. Because being in continuous union with Thee, O Lord, I have a presence of mind that is intent on pleasing Thee. Amen.